Yesterday, everyone was so busy playing that no one brought us a story, so we're going to light the chalice with Anna and Helena today. But as a reminder, if you have a story about how your assignment has gone, you can bring it to us and it can be part of the worship service. So please follow along with the hand motions Anna and Helena demonstrate as we read our chalice lighting. We light this chalice because we are Unitarian Universalists. This is the Church of the Open Mind. This is the Church of the Helping Hands. This is the Church of the Loving Heart. Please rise for our opening hymn, Where Do We Come From?
Right now, but we are large of bravery and spirit, And so we will sing this as a round. So, Hal, if you will give me an F, I'm just going to sing all the parts real quick, and then we'll split you up. So it goes like this. Where do we come from? Where are we? Where are we going? That's part one. Part two is, where do we come from? Part three, mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery. Part four is, where do we come from? Where are we going? You can move between parts. You can stick to a part. The choir is going to be sticking to some parts so that there will always be someone singing your part, whatever you choose it to be. So, everyone who's starting with the first part and this bunch of the choir, here we go.
Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going?
Enough. These words are enough. If not these words, this breath. If not this breath, this sitting here. This opening to life we have refused again and again until now. Come, let us worship together.
One of the spiritual practices we'd like to invite you to participate in this morning is called the Cross Heart Kirtan Kriya. This is a meditation that comes from the Kundalini Yoga tradition, and Evan and I learned it this past spring from a religious educator in New York who is also a Kundalini Yoga teacher. There are four Sanskrit sounds in this mantra that you say with the meditation. Sa, ta, na, ma. And those sounds refer to the circle, the cycle of life, the cycle of birth, life, death, and rebirth. And the sounds again are sa, ta, na, ma. Can you say those with me? Sa, ta, na, ma. As you say the sounds, there's a movement that goes with it. It's a very small movement, and one that involves just one hand. So as you say the first sound, sa, you take your pointer finger and you put it together with your thumb, sa. And then you move to your middle finger, ta. Na, ma. So let's do that again. Sa, ta, na, ma. Now, this teacher told us that when she is working with children, sometimes it's hard for children and sometimes for adults to connect to sounds that are not real familiar to us, even if we've been told what they mean. So sometimes when she uses this meditation with children, she uses an English phrase. I am here now. So try that with me too. I am here now. So the way we're going to do this is several times we're going to go back and forth between the Sanskrit sounds and the English phrase. We'll do that several times, practicing together. And then watch me, because after we do it several times, we're going to drop the sounds and say them just inside of ourselves and continue with the hand motions. We'll do that for a couple of times, and then we'll be completely still, and we'll move into a moment of silence. At the end of that silence, I will ring the chime, and I'll invite you to remain seated, and we'll sing our hymn of affirmation, which you'll find on the walls behind me. Okay? So here we begin. Sa ta na ma. I am here now. 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 have a story to share with you. This story comes from a book called Zen Shorts by John Muth. The story features three children, Addie, Michael, and Carl, and their friend, a giant talking panda bear named Stillwater. One day, the littlest child, Carl, decides to go visit Stillwater. Carl was going to go swimming with Stillwater in his inflatable swimming pool. He picked out a whole bunch of pool toys to bring with him, but his big brother Michael told him he was bringing too many toys. Carl complained to Stillwater. He complained that his brother was too bossy, that he had told him that he was bringing too much stuff, so Carl had brought everything. "I'm mad at Michael," he told his panda friend. He humped and crossed his arms. He scowled as the panda floated on his back in the pool. He complained about his brother and fantasized about how he would punish him if he was there. He would jump on him like this as he bounced on the panda's belly. The panda listened and daydreamed. They frolicked, but the boy grumbled all day, too. "Carl," said the bear to the boy, "you spent the whole day being angry with Michael. Did you even notice how much fun we had?" The bear Stillwater then told Carl this story, a heavy load. Two traveling monks reached a town where there was a young woman waiting to step out of her sedan chair. The rains had made deep puddles, and she couldn't cross the puddles without spoiling her long, fine, silken robes. She stood there looking very cross and impatient. She was scolding her attendants. They had nowhere to place the packages they held for her, so they couldn't help her cross the puddle. The younger monk noticed the woman, said nothing, and walked right past. The older monk quickly picked her up and put her on his own back and transported her across the water and put her down on the other side. She didn't thank that older monk. She just shoved him out of the way and departed. As they continued on their way, the young monk was brooding and preoccupied. After several hours, unable to hold his silence, he spoke out. "That woman back there was very selfish and rude, but you picked her up anyway and put her on your back and carried her. And then she didn't even thank you." "I set the woman down hours ago," the older monk replied. "Why are you still carrying her?" "Do you think you've carried it long enough?" asked Stillwater. "Yes," said Carl. "Good," Stillwater said. And you can see in the picture the two friends bow to one another as they say goodbye. I wonder if you can find yourself in this story. I know I can find myself. I have certainly had the experience of carrying around my annoyance or anger or about something that happened for a long time. I've also had the experience of carrying around a whole bunch of worries about what I'm afraid might happen at some point in the future. Either way, whether it's remembering the past or worrying about the future, I've carried a heavy burden that I didn't need to carry. I kind of think about it like as a big camping backpack. Have you seen those backpacks? They're like almost as half as big as you. They're about this big. And when you go backpacking, you take one of those big backpacks and you put in everything you're going to need. You put in your tent and your sleeping bag and all your food and all your clothes and everything that you're going to need to cook with. And maybe you're the one who's carrying the stove if you're going with other people. So those bags can get pretty heavy. When we go out into our day, remembering over and over again something that already happened, or worrying over and over again about something that might happen, it's kind of like picking up that big, heavy camping backpack, putting it on our backs, strapping it in across our chest and again around our hips, and walking out into our day. It tires us out and weighs us down. And even if we aren't noticing it, it gets in the way of our ability to be light and easy and fully attentive to whatever it is we're doing in the present moment. In our story, Carl played with his friend Stillwater All day long they played in that pool, but it was only at the end of the day, when he realized with Stillwater's help that he had not been fully present. Feelings we don't know how to talk about or respond to can be one of the prime culprits taking us away from the present moment, but it can happen in lots of other ways too. We can let ourselves just slip away from the present moment with a whole raft of thoughts, many of which are of little or no consequence. So, for example, how many of you adults have ever found yourselves trying to meditate or practice yoga or even in a worship service at church, and suddenly you noticed you were making a grocery shopping list in your head? Has that ever happened? Yes? Okay. Now, how many of you kids have ever found yourselves at school? Maybe the teacher's talking, you're supposed to be paying attention to some lesson, and suddenly you notice you're thinking about what you're going to do when you get home from school. Has that ever happened to you? Yes? Okay. I think most of us recognize this because it's really common. It happens to all of us. Whether it's because we're feeling really big feelings, sad, mad, glad, scared, or because we're simply daydreaming, lots of times we let our thoughts carry us away from whatever it is we're doing or experiencing in the present moment. Though it might seem too simple to have much impact, lots and lots of spiritual practices teach us that the quality of our lives will be better if we can learn how to live in the present moment, if we can learn how to live right here and right now. The Buddhist tradition has a name for this practice. It's called mindfulness. Spiritual traditions teach that there are many benefits of mindfulness, and researchers have done studies to test those claims. And they have found that mindfulness does indeed have great many measurable, observable benefits. Mindfulness can reduce stress, strengthen our immune system to help us fight off illnesses, reduce chronic pain, and lower our blood pressure. Mindfulness can also help us feel better about ourselves by helping us become more patient with our own shortcomings, less impulsive, and more able to hear critical feedback from other people without feeling threatened or defensive. In addition to these physical and emotional benefits, mindfulness can help us spiritually by enabling us to more deeply connect to ourselves, to each other, to the creatures of the earth itself, to the planet, to the universe, to all that is our life. So how do we do this? How do we practice mindfulness? How can we learn to just be here now? One of the very best mindfulness practices involves paying attention to our breath. The reason paying attention to our breath is so effective is because it's always happening. We're always breathing, so we don't need to do anything special in order to tune into our breath. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whoever we're with, we can always decide to turn our attention to our breath. We're never breathing yesterday's breath or tomorrow's breath. So by tuning into our breath, we're tuning in to this breath, to this moment, to right now. At this point in the week in Summer Institute, you may have begun to have your first thoughts about going home. Maybe you've already noticed yourself feeling sad that the week is going to come to an end, or worried about all that packing up and schlepping the stuff out to your car, or anxious about the pile of work that's waiting for you when you get back home. The truth is that the ending, the packing, the going back to whatever rhythms constitute your days, all of that's going to happen whether we worry about it now or not. But if we spend our time dwelling on it, we'll be less able to fully experience what remains for us here in this wonderful week. So here is your spiritual practice assignment for today. If you notice yourself wandering off into the past or the future for any reason, we invite you to bring yourself back to the present moment. Try using your breath to bring you back. Tune into your breath and into the fullness of this very moment. Welcome, friends. This moment awaits you.
thought we'd begin today's assignment together. So I'm going to invite you into a short meditation, one that anybody of any age can do. And so to start this practice of being anchored in this moment with our breathing, I'd like you to find a comfortable position. You can lean back. If you're short, you might want to sit cross-legged rather than letting your legs dangle. You can lean against somebody, whatever's comfortable. If you'd like, you can close your eyes, but it's not required. Feel your body's connection to the ground. If your feet rest on the floor, feel them reaching into the earth. Feel your spine stretching down to earth and then up to sky. If you feel tension in your body, take a moment to let it go. Relax your face muscles, your neck, your shoulders, your arms, your hands, your chest, your stomach, your back, your rear end, your thighs, your calves, your feet, your chest, your follow the air as it comes in through your nose or mouth and down into your lungs. And then follow it as it goes back out. Our breath coming home. Home to our bodies. Home to this present moment, which is the only real moment. Let your breath take you home into yourself. And if you have other thoughts, just gently notice that it distracted you, and then let those thoughts go. You can return to them later. And watch your breath. If noises distract you, let them wash over you, and return to watching your breathing. Has your breathing changed at all since we started? Is it slower or faster? Where in your body can you feel your breathing now? Now I invite you to do a little controlling of your breathing. Can you breathe in so you feel it in your shoulders? So your shoulders rise. Can you breathe in so your chest rises? Can you breathe in so your stomach rises? Can you breathe so that you feel it in the bottom of your spine? Now let's take several really complete breaths where we start feeling it in the bottom of our spine and then our stomach and then our chest and then our shoulders, really deep. And let it out slowly. Again, a very, very deep breath. And one more. At any point, you can come home to yourself in this moment just by watching your breath for one breath or 10 or more. As you are ready, I invite you to open your eyes and join in our closing hymn.
Join into whatever part makes you happy. We'll start with the low part and we'll build up.
We leave blessed by our connections to one another, to the spirit of life. Walk lightly so that you see the life that is below your feet. Spread your arms as if you had wings and could dance through the air. Feel the joy of breath in your lungs and fire in your heart. Live to love and be a blessing on this day. Amen.
Adventure hump, I feel you're out to get me. And now I see you've brought some friends, but you should know I'll have victory. With a different pair of shoes each day, a bright pink cape, and an attitude. I will traverse your dangerous self with charm and grace and a tray full of food. I didn't think until this morning about a cape. Of course I can get over it with a cape. Is Helene Roussy here? Excellent.
Many of you will already know or have heard rumors, because we're good at rumors, that there have been some conversations going on this week on campus about illegal chemical substances. And we would like to invite you to dialogue with us a little bit and join this conversation this afternoon at 1:30 in Hayes 109. That's the building right next to here, and that's the early afternoon session starting at 1:30. At lunchtime today, we will have some leaflets, a kind of a half page, to give you an idea what this conversation involves and to invite you to come and join us. So think in terms of that and keep an eye out for leaflets at lunchtime. We'll have them there, probably handing them out as people are walking in a little bit. Evan and Melissa need a bunch of people to help with a part in tomorrow morning's service involving the alphabet. I'm quite certain many of you know the alphabet. And if you would like to help, please come to Ross Hall today at 5 p.m. That's right at the beginning of dinner, which goes until 7, for a short rehearsal. So today, 5 p.m. here at Ross Hall, if you would like to help with tomorrow morning's service regarding the alphabet. A couple of notes. I feel it's sort of sacrilegious to come up here and now talk about the end of the week, since we're trying not to focus on that today. But I have to do that. So just some notes as we approach the end of the week. Today is the last day for dyeing at tie-dye, for dyeing your things. Today is the last day for dyeing. After today, no dyeing. for tie-dyeing your items at tie-dye. Tomorrow is the cleanup day and packing up day. If you've been to tie-dye at all, you know that it's quite an operation. There's a lot of supply and mess that goes into that, and we really need to focus on cleaning that up tomorrow. Tomorrow you will be able to finish up on projects. You'll retrieve things that you've already dyed and do rinsing and that sort of thing, but we won't start any new projects tomorrow. Lunchtime on Friday will be the last chance you have to shop in our bookstore, the OMDSI bookstore, which is in Pierce Hall on the lower level, around the corner to the left as you're entering to head towards the dining hall. So lunchtime on Friday is the last hour of operation for buying and selling things. Also today, this is Thursday, right? Okay. also today will be the last theme talk back with art this afternoon, so following this morning's theme talk. We like to give the speaker an opportunity to wrap up on Friday with us all in the morning. So today will be the last theme talk back opportunity. A note about the pub, Pierce Pub. This is a little clarification I mentioned last night. Earlier in the week, we had a night when anyone of any age in our community was allowed to be in there because we were doing a couple of all-ages community pieces, including watching TV. But it is a 21 and over pub, and so we will ask that only 21 and over members of our community visit the pub. However, it is okay, and we have Kenyon's blessing on this, it is okay for children of parents to accompany their parents. If you have kids and they're with you and you are comfortable having them with you in the pub, that is okay. That only applies to parents, though, however, not to sponsors in our community, because that is a Kenyan rule, so we need to observe that. This afternoon, the early afternoon workshop session at 1:30 p.m., the campus ministry workshop is going to move to South Campus, and they're going to move into Sam Mather, room 202. If you are interested in that, plan on that. There's a small possibility that we will shift that location just a little bit within that building, but we'll have someone there to let you know if that changes. Do you know what happens tonight? A few things happen, but peak is tonight. So this is a reminder. We need to have you bring your peak prizes before peak. Peak is quite a setup. It's a fantastic event. If you don't know what we're talking about, you still need to go and play. It happens very quickly. It's very easy to learn. It's great fun. The thing that we need time for is setting up and handling all of the prizes, because there's a prize for everyone. So please bring your prizes that you have brought with you from home to the Thompson Dining Hall at lunchtime today. This is your prize, which is often a regift or a very inexpensive thing, and a bag, a reusable bag if possible.
If they don't have one, we always have extras, so come anyway.
Good point. If you do not have a prize and or a bag for a prize to go in, come anyway. We have always extra prizes, and there will be a prize for everyone. You can't lose at peak. That's the best part. Okay, a few details about our departure. We need to start filling people in on this now. So again, I apologize for talking about the end of the week. But on Saturday, the day that we have to go home, we have an opening ceremony scheduled at 10 a.m. That will usually last about an hour. Breakfast time on Saturday is the same as it has been all week. The cafeteria will be open from 7 to 9 a.m. We do not have lunch on Saturday. Our day here at Kenyon ends at noon, so we don't have lunch here. You'll make some plans to have lunch on the way home or perhaps in town before you leave. A lot of folks will do that, but we don't have the dining hall for lunch on Saturday. Regarding the times we need to be out of our dorms, this year we do not have as many restrictions for some dorms that have to vacate very early. We have one dorm that needs to be vacated early on Saturday. That is Bushnell. Bushnell dorm, which is on South Campus here, that dorm needs to be essentially empty by 9 a.m. And we will. Wait. Don't be too upset by that. We've done this many, many times for different dorms. It happens this year that Bushnell is the one. What that means is that by 9 a.m., the folks staying in Bushnell need to be fully packed. It is fine if things are in the room until noon, but you need to be fully packed and have everything on the bed because they will begin cleaning in that dorm. They have another group coming in quickly after us on Saturday, and so we need to help them have that space ready. All the other dorms on campus, we have to be completely moved out by noon. So for all the other dorms, I would suggest that it might be a good idea to have yourself packed before the opening ceremony and plan on loading your stuff out after the opening ceremony so that you have everything out by noon. We will have a checkout on Saturday where you turn in your keys and you have an opportunity to get the receipt back that you signed for your key. Because remember, there is a $150 lost key charge this year. That will start at 11 a.m. at Gund Commons. That's a change from the last few years where we have done most of our checkout on the porch outdoors in the little downtown Gambier. It's going to be back in Gund Commons where we registered and where we checked in and where the youth programming has been for the bulk of this week. We are moving that indoors because Saturday is forecast to be stormy. So keep that in mind in your preparations to get out of the building. Also, a note before Saturday comes along, Amy Kent, our lead registrar, will have the receipt. She has a receipt box with all of the receipts for all of the keys that everyone signed. She will have that with her at every meal for the rest of the week because some of us will be departing early, and that's your opportunity to see Amy, to hand in your key, and to get your receipt back. Yes. That's a great question. I don't know, but I will find out by tonight, and I'll let you know. Thank you for asking that. I will find out that for sure. So otherwise, though, folks who are leaving before Saturday, you'll have an opportunity to get your receipt from Amy. If you don't feel the need to have the receipt back in your hand, in the past we have always said you can give your key, ideally on the lanyard, because that's how we'll keep track of it, to any planning committee member, and that stands still. If you have trouble finding anyone or getting to a mealtime, you can leave your key with a planning committee member, and we will take responsibility for it and make sure it gets turned back in. That's all for that for today. I will say that with not quite as many words several times for the rest of the week. Thank you very much.